It's an everyday thing. It's a lifestyle that you live. You live for the Lord. It's not something you get that and that's it, and you have it forever. It's a continuous thing. He said, I will never leave you. That's iron and then iron and clay in the toe, our toes, that they were mingled, but they could not, that's Daniel chapter 2, but this could not hold. And it's a top, the government, human government, it's a top everything. That means it could topple over. It could topple over at any time. And so the Gentiles has been reigning or in power, as it were, for thousands of years. And when Jesus was born, he was born during the reign of the Roman government. And now we are way down to the end, when the Lord will return that little stone. Remember Daniel pointed out that there was a little stone that that was cut out of the mountains without hands. And it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, silver and gold. Everything was broken up. All this government system reign. But the little stone became a great mountain. That means it became a great kingdom. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ and God. It's called in Daniel, the, if you go to the seventh chapter of Daniel chapter 7, and you begin to, there are several verses there that I would like to get in the seventh chapter of Daniel, where it tells us that the kingdom of the kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Daniel 7, look at verse 18, says that
the saints of the Most
yes,
High.
Yes, but the saints
of the Most High.
That's you and I. Because we will live and reign with Christ in this kingdom for 1,000 years as kings and priests. Revelation tells us that. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And now we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then there's said, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You have to take it. I give you power. I give you authority. I give you dominion. Then down in verse 22 says, until the Ancient of Days came, until the ancient, verse 21, go up to verse 21, says, I beheld, and the same horn, that's this little horn, make war with the saints and prevail against them. Okay? But it's a temporary victory. Until, focus on that word, until the Ancient of Days came. Who is the Ancient of Days? You see, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And Micah says that is going forth has been from of old. And here in it tells us until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world is going to be turned over to Jesus. They are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And we will reign with Him forever and forever. Then it goes on back to the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. See, God gave us a timeline of everything. We are not left in the darkness, and we are closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ today than we ever were. His coming is very, very nigh. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all. It's going to be different from all the kingdoms, and shall break and devour the old earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. I want to go down further, maybe 27 or so verse. 26 verse. And the judgment, but the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. The Ancient of Days is going to give the kingdom, or the kingdoms of this world. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And notice, all dominion shall serve and obey him. By the time the end of the millennium, there will not be a nation that will not be ruled by Jesus Christ. And then come at the end when he will turn over the kingdoms of this world back to the Father, when everything is subdued under his feet, that he may be all in all. Okay, now, that's the end right there. Verse 28 said, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. No dispute, no argument, nobody can change it. Nobody can stop Jesus Christ from coming and reigning upon the earth. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's attacking you, no matter what discouraging position you're going through, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Never give up." He says, "My cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter." Where? Where should you lay up the word of God?
In my heart.
I kept the matter, you ponder it like Mary. I kept the matter, the word of God, hidden. Like David said, "Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The place that you store the word of God is in your heart. That's why you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. As for me, I kept the matter in my heart. Praise God. So I'd like to, what we're talking about is that the gospel going to the Gentiles, and now it's almost closing time, because the olive tree, the branches that was broken off, and the Gentiles was grafted into, the wild olive was grafted into the true olives, and we were brought into Christ during the age of the gospel. The Syrophoenician, when Jesus said to her, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs," she said, true Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs that falleth from the master's table. So we've been eating at the crumbs of the word of God, and we're thankful to God for that. We appreciate the Lord for it. And then the gospel went in Acts 10 to the Gentiles. And it is to the scripture we had this morning, if you can find it real quick, that he is visiting the Gentiles. That's, I think it's in Acts 15. Where is it? He's visiting the Gentiles to take out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Visiting the Gentiles. And then after this visit is over, after the visit is over, he will return. Acts 15 and Amos 9. Acts chapter 15, 14. It says, and Simeon, at the clear of God, at the first did visit the Gentiles. This is a mystery. He did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Verse 15 says, and to this agree the words of the prophets. Verse 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written in verse 16 going on now, says, after this, after the visit, pay attention, after the visit, the Gentiles, the dispensation of the Gentiles, okay, he will return and rebuild again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Why? It's after the visit is over to the Gentiles. He has not put away the Gentiles, but now it will, and the restoration of Israel. You wonder, what is God doing? But he tells you right there, it's going to be on a wider scale. Okay? It's not going to close the door to the Gentiles, but it's being a wider scale, it says, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. From during the millennium, from all over the world. The millennium, more people will enter into the kingdom of God than even in the church age. Because if the fall of them means the rising of the Gentiles, how much more the restoration of them. So it says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things. So the work is God. It's God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's the one that's going to establish the kingdom over it tells us in Psalms chapter 2. But verse 18 says now, known unto God. God knows what he's doing. This is beautiful. If you understand that God knows everything, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, or from the foundation of the world. God knows exactly. God is not guessing, or nothing happened by chance. But known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world, and no one can change him. Wherefore, my sentence is, then he goes on, that you trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Amen. Let them be. Okay, don't trouble them. And do not put a lot of keeping or the law, or as Israel had it, who could not keep it. But it's by faith, by grace. Amen. Okay. I'd like to go a little further here, and it tells us. I want to go back into the Old Testament, into Isaiah. There's several chapters there in Isaiah that we need to know. We need to know. I think, let me look at Isaiah chapter 61 and possibly 62 or so. But let me quickly, if we can read some scriptures here. In Isaiah, is it 61? Let's read a few scriptures. What verse? Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Read up, come on. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and the proclaiming of liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. See, these things happen to the Gentiles, right? That's what Christ came to do. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Look at what he's doing now. Did he give you beauty for your ashes? Did he take away, he's taking away that carnal nature and giving you the nature of God? Did he take away the ugliness of the first Adam and to make creating you a clean heart and make you a new creature? Here's what he's doing. He's giving beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, that's the Holy Spirit, for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you see the exchange? He take away, but he gave something better. That they might be called trees, or that trees mean people, the people of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he might glorify, he might be glorified, to anoint, and they shall build the whole waste, and this includes Gentiles and Jews. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers, come on, and strangers. You remember when we were strangers and aliens without God? What are we doing right tonight? We're feeding the flock. Strangers, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are feeding the flock right now. Amen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien, we were alien. We were strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Sure, yeah, that's going to happen in the kingdom too, but right now. Right now. Who's plowing? Who's plowing with the gospel plow? Come on, who is the vine dresser? Us. You and I. When you witness, when you pray, when you come to church and pray, when you don't hang up your plow and then you forget God until Sunday or church night, when you labor, when you pray, you're plowing. Amen. Strangers will plow the field. And no wonder John, when he was asked, he saw the great multitude. And he said, who are these? John didn't know. But these are they which came out of great tribulation because the plowmen were working. Amen.
Amen.
But he shall be named. Go back to verse 5.
And strangers
shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Who's keeping the order in the church? The Holy Spirit is using ministry for the perfecting of the saints. But he shall be named. Notice, it's talking. It's not talking just about plowing out there. Okay? Because the priests never plowed. The priests were stationary to preach the gospel or to perform the ordinances of God. But he shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God. And Revelations 5 and Revelations 20 tells us that we are kings and priests. Okay? And said, he shall eat. Ha ha. See, what all of that, the Gentiles, if we eat their spiritual things, then we ought to give them carnal things. He said that and he shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. He shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall he boast. Now, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. These scriptures are beautiful. But we take all of these and we put it off into the future, which, yes, it's going to happen also, but it's a continuous thing. That, look, what are the riches of the Gentiles? What are the riches of the Gentiles? You want me just to pause here a little bit? The riches of the Gentiles? You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Pause right there. You shall eat. The restoration of Israel, when they come back home, what are they going to eat? What are they going to feast upon? The riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall he boast yourself. What is your glory? It says, let him that glory in this fact that he know the Lord. See, the knowledge of God. What are they going to be rejoicing, and what are they going to eat? The riches of the Gentiles. Hold your fingers, and I need two scriptures if you can help me. We dealt with it last week in Ephesians and in Colossians about the Gentiles. Can you? You got to help me right there. In Ephesians, is it? And where Paul speaks about the mystery that was hidden. Gave you those scriptures last week. Where Paul, is it chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, and then Colossians 1? What is it? Come on, I can't hear you. Christ? What chapter, what verse? Give me the chapter. Colossians, let's go to Colossians first, and then it's also in Ephesians. Colossians 1 and verse 26. I just want to put that in right here. Colossians chapter 1. Okay. Let me go up to 26. Look at verse 26. And the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Underline that. You got that? What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? See? There's a mystery was revealed. Let me read again so you get it. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the Jews, the restoration of Israel will eat? They shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. What are the riches of the Gentiles? Come on, what are the riches of the Gentiles? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when Israel, yes, rejoice, when Israel is restored, and the Gentiles, they will suck the milk. Okay. They will eat the fat. They will eat the riches of the Gentiles. What is the riches? Christ is the riches of the Gentiles. And when they're restored, they will receive and accept and even weep and mourn for Christ because they had rejected him. And they will look upon him whom they have pierced. But remember now, the Gentiles have been inheriting the riches and the fatness and the grace and the mercies of God from the breaking off of some of the branches in Romans 11. Now, go back to Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Go to Ephesians 3. And verse 8 says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So when Israel is restored, they're coming back hungry and thirsty. But God has a table. He spread a table among the Gentiles. And it's rich. It's very rich. So Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Next verse. According. Oh, hallelujah. This get better. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that he faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love, I'm showing you the riches of the Gentiles, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, he's able to bring and restore Israel and cause them to eat the riches of the Gentiles, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This is awesome, isn't it? This is awesome. The same Christ that you have tonight, that you're feasting on right now, that will be the food for Israel when they're restored. He told them, said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I'm the living bread that came down from heaven, that a man might eat and not die, but they live forever. Israel is still going to eat of the flesh and drink of the blood of their Messiah. And that is going to quench their thirst and fill them so they will not hunger anymore. He lead them by fountains of living waters. They will not hunger or thirst anymore. Do you see how wise God is? How we deposit such a rich, not only for us, but he deposits such a richness that will provide with sustenance, strength, food, provision, and he laid it up among the Gentiles. For when Israel is restored, hallelujah. Now, you remember, it speaks about the riches of his grace and the mysteries that was hid from the foundation of the world. Remember, we touched all of those? Okay. And what was the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, at the end of the Gentile age, Jesus is returning to Israel. The gospel will go back to them, and they will receive it. Now, because we're heading into the times, the end of the times of the Gentiles. It's important now. In Revelation 10, I think it's down in verse 7. We're going by trumpets, seals, vials. But in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Okay? At the seven trumpets. Notice, and I'm making this short right here. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, what happened? The mystery of God should be finished. And we battled over that for years. The mystery of God shall be finished. See, that's the mystery Paul was speaking about that we just had in Ephesians. And it's also in Romans chapter 16. And it's also in Romans 15. And it's here in the days of the voice of the seven angels, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. What is the mystery of God? See, that's the mystery of God called the church. That's the church among the Gentiles. The visit among the Gentiles will be over, and Christ return to Israel as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the establishment of the kingdom. And the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. So this is the mystery is going to be finished. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel, in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. You remember Christ comes back when? At the seventh trump, the last trump. So the mystery of God that's called the church, okay, in the Gentile age, is coming to an end. But it phases out into something greater, which is known as the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the next verse says,
And the voice
which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take. Notice when the Gentile is over, a little book is given. And I know you can put all kind of ideas, and I've heard some explain it that it's not this Bible, but we're going to give in another little book with even far. You can hold whatever interpretation you want to hold. But it tells us here that in the days of the voice which I heard from heaven, you need to follow me here, spake unto me again, said, go and take the little book which is open, not closed, but open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And there's a lot of things right there, but I'm not going to go into those things right now. But verse 9 says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. That's the word of God. And I took the little book out of the angel's hands and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, notice, thou must prophesy again before many people. Notice, people and nations and tongues and kings. That's what he told Paul in the same thing in Acts 9, verse 15. You can read that on your own. And he said unto me, next verse. That's it. No. Okay. See, so even in the millennium age, it's not yet completed. There's a lot to learn. Because he said, take the little book. You'll have to use the Bible, the Word of God, and prophesy again. But before, he said, eat it up. They have to eat up the book. Because God, all of the mistakes and that we made, even in the Gentile time, imperfection. Now, it has to be perfect. Because we're in the millennium. But God is going to raise up teachers, prophets. And you must prophesy again. You know, it's like you go to school and you didn't get your homework right. And what do they say? You have to retake. Well, in other words, we'd say do it over. Well, that's what the church will be doing over. But this time, it won't be just the church as we know it, but that will include Israel. Amen. It's going to include the tribes, nations, tongues, kings. There will be what, retake? So if I were you, I would begin to study this Bible. Because if you don't do it now, you're going to do it then. And you cannot skip. And you cannot go around the corner and avoid it. You can't do that. So you're going to have to know this Bible. Now here, it says that in the days of the seventh trumpet, the Lord descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the coming of the little stone against the nations, and the kingdom would be established. It's going to grow the kingdoms of this world. Now, I said to you this morning that the gospel went to the Gentiles. The tabernacle was moved to the Gentiles, as it were. The anointing, the spirit, the truth. And the Gentiles receive it. But almost 2,000 years, the nations, the churches among the Gentiles are losing it. See? You remember now, you had the outer court. You have the holy place and the holies of holies. Now in Revelation 11, let's get there. Start at verse 1. Let me give you that quickly. Revelation 11. And verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angels stood saying, rise and measure the temple. Go slow. Measure the temple of God on the altar, and them that worship therein. Arise. It was given to me a reed, a rod, and told me to measure the temple. Why would you measure, or when you measure something, what is the reason why you measure? To get something exact, to fit. Now, it's the Gentile has had the gospel for 2,000 years. So now God is measuring it. Is it falling short? Is it falling short of the Holy of Holies? Remember, we were told to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, if you're falling short, you're not going to make it. So, this rod, like unto a reed like unto a rod, was given. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure, notice, the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Find out where there's true worship. Like Philadelphian worship. But the next verse. But notice the courts, which is without the temple, leave it out. And measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. So you see, the Gentiles still continue. But now it still continue. It's court worship. But God now is expecting to want something more. He now wants temple worship. So here's what goes on. That he said, it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. 3.5 years. They're going to tread it down. That means they're not going to know what's happening. So beware, Gentile church. It's in the outer courts, but it can never find its way into the holy place or in the holy of holies because of too much traditions. The Jews' tradition took over. Now the Gentiles. We brought in all kind of traditions. And you've got to go through all kind of motions. Okay? And all of that does not measure up to temple worship. It's just court worship. Out of the outer court. And it says that, and I will give power to my two witnesses that they shall prophesy 1,260 days. So for this, during this Gentile age, when for 42 months there's no temple worship, when it's measured, it came up short. The Gentile church came up short. But you see, God never loses anything. God always have a backup plan. So during this time, at this time, what happened? To maintain temple worship, he sent two witnesses. And he gave two witnesses the power to restore that temple worship so it will not come short. But the Gentiles are still in the outer courts. They've come that far because of tradition and not studying the Word of God. Not making the changes, not going back and reading the little book over and over again. So God brings on two witnesses to fill the gap and to push back the enemy so that the enemy will not penetrate and take over even the temple worship. So the two witnesses was filled with power, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed. Because the churches himself will not recognize what God's doing. Because God made a corner. Because traditions and doctrines of men and ideas of men, carnal ideas, could not reach into temple worship. And I will give power. Did I read that? Verse 4, these are the two olives, trees, and the two candlestick standing before the God of this earth. So God has still established it so men and women who want to can go on to perfection, can go on to be clothed with the image of Jesus Christ under the ministry of the two witnesses, pushing back ignorance, pushing back darkness. When the churches are not doing it, God steps out of the church and raises up. And that's bringing the Gentiles in the outer court. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured the enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they would. Remember, you've got to focus now. The Gentiles' time has come to an end. So all they can give is outer court worship, not amount to the temple worship. So what God did, God filled this space and filled this gap where the church has lost it. Two witnesses came on with the anointing, with the power of God, signs and wonders. And it's going to close out the church age. And the verse 7 says, the mystery. Is it verse 7 in Revelation 10? In the days of the voice of this trump, the mystery of God shall be finished. That, notice, that's the mystery of God. That's called the church as we know it. But not the work of God. The mystery of God is finished. And now he's going to restore another order. He's going to bring back Israel into the covenant promises of God. My, that's a lot. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, notice, the church didn't do it. The church could not complete the program of God, even in this dispensation. So God continue working, but it's a brand new move of God. So here, the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. Well, wouldn't that be nice if somebody said, give us more, Pastor. Give me the little book. I want to have the truth. I want to know it. I want to continue eating. Give me the little book. I want what comes out of the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before, notice, many people, nations, tongues, and kings. Why? Prophesy again. Because now is homework time. The church didn't check their homework. And there was a lot of mistakes. But during the time of the two witnesses, God's going to correct a lot of the mistakes that the church could not. And because of all these mistakes, the church among the Gentiles, that seemingly with that sheet let down from heaven, that begun in heaven, where is it now? On the earth, earthly, carnal, in temple worship, cannot measure up to the length, the breadth, the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. See, the church is coming short. You know why? Because we take God for granted. Because we think that we can spin God. And he doesn't care. And he doesn't mind. And we get away with stuff. But you don't know that it's cutting off. Cut you off. When the scripture says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. So when you do that, you're cutting yourself off. And you will come up short of the glory of God. You will not cross the finishing line. Okay? So, he said that thou must prophesy again. God will make you go over and over and over until it's done right. Is that all? And there was given, that's chapter 11. We're in chapter 11. Yes, but I want still read on in chapter 11. Because down in verse 15, we have not reached there yet. Come on, let's get into scripture. What verse am I?
That was 10, 11, which is done.
That's what's chapter 10?
Yeah, we did that with
10. But we were just reading a rod and a... Okay. So I want to go back to chapter 11 now. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them.
Verse 6.
Power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their flesh, and in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. See that? You see how the church age come to a close under the Gentile age with power, signs, but it's under the two witnesses' ministry. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beasts that ascend out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. There also our Lord was crucified. Next verse. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. Next verse. And they that dwell upon the earth. Look at that. You see, do you understand? Earthly. The church has become so earthly. Carnal. That dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two witnesses torment them that dwell on the earth. Do you know when you don't want to walk straight, the preacher becomes the most horrifying sight? He torments you. You don't want to see him at all. Huh? A man of God, you don't want to see him at all. His very presence torments you. But when you straighten out and begin to do, you can't see enough of the preacher. Now you go from there. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. But notice, the same hour, it doesn't mean that it's 60 minutes hour. Because we're dealing with God. We're dealing with dispensation. All right? We're dealing when one, an hour, okay? And so we need to understand. The same hour was there a great earthquake. This is reading on from God's time clock, not ours. And the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake there were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Look in the seventh angels now. Look where we are. Look where we are. Remember, the church, we measure it. It's in the outer court. It cannot reach into temple. It's lost it. Okay? It's very lost. But now the two witnesses came on the scene. And notice where we are now. And the seventh angel sounded. Hold on. Just like we had in Revelations chapter 10, when the seventh angel sounded, what happened? He said, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God is finished. Now what? The mystery is finished. And now the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. Thy kingdom come. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you following, linking it together?
Yes.
Now, I'm going as slow as I can. And the seven angels sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders. Now you're going to move into the kingdom phase. And it's showing you how it's beginning to be established. It begins in heaven. And the order. Then it comes to the earth. And the 24 elders are judges. And when it's time, God's time is approved for Christ to return, the 20 elders know, they know the time, and they are on the Lord's side.
Yes.
Amen. Okay? They're on the Lord's side.
Yes.
And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were hangry. Psalms 2. Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And, oh, hallelujah. No, notice here. And the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in it, because you've got to understand now that if they're in outer courts worship, treading down, the gospel is going back to Israel. Now, when the two witnesses begin to prophesy, they're going to push the devil back, push back darkness until just at the second advent of Christ, the temple of God is open. Temple worship. Through the true witnesses, temple worship. And the elders falling down before God. Now the temple was open. And the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant. And there was lightnings and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. That's the power of God moving. Next verse. That's it? Okay. That's it. But it goes on to chapter 12, but I think this is it. I don't want to.